Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 15, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For January 26, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Paper Jack Ryder. Beatles. That is courtesy of Ryan Blihovdy. Nailed it. at Ryan Blihovdy. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Ah, that's right. It's Friday, kids. We're about to go into the weekend, and the XFL is coming back. So to honor the return of the XFL, it's your boy Miles, a.k.a. He Great Me. Thank you so much to Trevor on Twitter.
All right. I think you got the pronunciation,
I'm not that good at inflection.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of our favorites, frequent podcast guest, Jamie Loftus.
Trigger. Sorry, I was at a coffee shop with my friend before I came here, and we ran into a mutual friend who I never know where this person falls on me. And he was like, "Oh, where are you doing for the rest of the day?" I was like, "Oh, I'm going to go record a podcast." And he said, "Oh yeah, I forgot. You're a frequent podcast guest." Like, I'd just be like, "Hey, I'm going to go." It's like I had just said, like, "Hey, I'm going to go see if there's a fresh corpse I can have sex with somewhere." Like, right, he was straight up horrified.
You drown cats in a barrel.
Yeah. Right. Enjoy your Friday.
Oh, yeah. You're into that.
Yeah, no, because when you tweeted that, I was like, damn, she's subtweeting us?
Jamie just tweeted.
Like, minutes before she walked in.
right before she walked into our studio, she tweeted, "There's nothing more demoralizing or
debasing
than being described as a frequent podcast."
Yeah. It was all about the intonation. It was straight up. I was just like, "Oh, you do."
What does this person do?
You don't
to keep it fully vague.
Yeah, this person is a writer of some sort.
Professionally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like,
but that's don't come for you, because you
also a former podcast host, and it's like,
fuck
out of
here.
Out.
Fuck you off. Know what, Zeit Gang? Roll up on this anonymous person.
Roll up on the anons.
Jamie, what's something that you've searched in the not-too-distant past that's revealing about who you are?
Okay. Some of my recents are Buddy Holly funeral pictures. That was this morning.
Oh, God.
Wait. I wanted to see. Okay, so I was thinking about making these. I just wanted to treat myself this morning. I was like, I'm going to make some paper dolls of, like,
plane Buddy crash
Hall,
victims.
Buddy Holly's funeral. So I have like a little, I'll send it to you. I have like a little casket, his little crying widow, his guitar, the ghost of Richie Valens. Like, they're all there. Gang's all there.
Wow.
So that's one. Last night I searched doula crimes just to see if any had happened.
Like for like, that's like a midwife kind of thing or a birth, a sister.
A doula is a midwife that doesn't have any medical qualifications.
Right. Yes.
She literally just like hangs out and is
and it's like, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Your vibe is
beautiful. Oh, amazing. And then they just get to like live with you like some sort of weird leech person. So
that's appropriate.
Yeah. And doulas, turns out lots of doulas, thieves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because their job is just to hang out.
Someone who is like acting like they have some kind of medical expertise in a field that doesn't require any kind of medical license could be a shyster.
Hanging around people during the most distracting thing possible.
Right.
He's going to catch you.
There's
I like that all the stories
are just steal.
Right.
Oh, like just straight up like shot, like lifting shit off people, like their property?
Yeah, like they'll find out after the birth that the doulas had been stealing the whole time. It's like Geeks Who Drink, but it's doulas who steal.
Nice. Oh, also, what is your beef with Geeks Who Drink? I've been seeing that on Twitter, and then the people are clapping back and we're like, hey, we think you
like
it.
Geeks
Who Drink really.
Yeah.
Okay, Geeks Who Drink is a trivia night that happens all over the country, and the geeks show up, they're drinking, it's a disaster. They all like it's like one of those things that just starts at a bar that you're already at, and then you're just like, now I'm at Geeks Who Drink. And there's like some hot lady who's like, welcome to Geeks Who Drink, and then starts asking you questions.
Was that a woman
about...
from the South, or was that a
Australian?
European
accent?
That was Australian.
Oh, amazing.
That was my Margot Robbie impression.
No, that was so good.
And so I just started harassing the Geeks Who Drink just to let them know that I thought that they were geeks and they shouldn't be drinking. And they took it really,
yeah.
Like, I think that they thought I was like truly going to
bullying
like,
them.
Yeah. And I forgot how sensitive geeks are. And so I stopped bothering the Geeks Who Drink because they have enough trauma to deal with.
Yeah, for sure.
They're geeks for crying out loud.
See, you're a kind God, Jamie.
And then I also searched for Michael Kupperman this morning because he's one of my favorite artists.
He's a just a visual artist?
He's a comic artist. He like makes some of the funniest shit in the world. So those are my three.
Dope.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But we haven't seen you in a while, so we got to get people up to speed on you.
Yeah.
What's something that you think is overrated?
Sober January.
Yeah.
I think Sober January is a very weird cry for help. There's no one I've heard who's doing Sober January that it's like, oh, but maybe sober the rest of your life, you know, like, so.
Right.
So Sober January is a cry for help, and especially when people are making a big to-do about it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, just go
Can
to a
Can you believe
meeting.
It? I'm not drinking.
Yeah, it's
I know,
like,
like, it's fine to not drink for a month, but there are people that are like blogging about it. They're like, and another day, another, it's like, I feel like it's too big of a deal.
Well, yeah. It also makes you worried. You're like, because when people go full stop, like, yo, I'm not drinking for a month.
Right.
Right.
That usually comes off the heels of something
rough,
fucking wild.
Yeah,
a rough
what
December.
Happened in December?
Yeah.
Dark December.
It's like, I punched out a mall.
Dark December, sober January.
Yeah. I punched out a mall Santa.
Right.
And, you know, I put a curling iron to my stepmom.
So you're saying maybe check out a meeting while you're doing Sober January?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
just
maybe
see.
Just
see what you think.
Try it out as a lifestyle and also shut up about it.
What do you think is underrated?
Underrated is a new script I've been working on.
Yes.
I've heard tell of this script.
Santa University was snubbed for the Oscars, as we
Bradley,
know.
Sadly, yes.
But I think next year a very strong contender is going to be my new film, I, Tony.
Oh.
It's a film about... I was almost about Tony Hawk, but it is going to be about Tony Danza.
Yes.
I, Tony Danza, real underdog story. We feel that he's been disserviced by the press.
Yes.
You know, he's supposed to be a traditionally feminine. And so it's I, Tony Danza. You got to check it out. It's going to be really good. So far, I have about 600 pages written.
Okay. So we'll have to do another live reading of this.
Yeah, I hope to. I, Tony. I mean, who's going to play Tony Danza?
I don't know. We may have to get the real Tony Danza.
He's probably available.
We could probably get do we ever, at the end of the script, do we find out who the boss actually was?
Oh, you find out midway.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay,
so and then three more hours.
Beautiful.
It's great. It's a wild ride. Did you guys ever watch the
Angela
Tony Danza?
Was the boss.
Which I think so too.
Yeah.
But did you guys ever watch Tony Danza's daytime show?
No.
I mean, I remember when he had it, but at that point I'm like,
his sidekick was a parrot.
His sidekick was a parrot?
Yeah, it was great.
Wait, how would he include the parrot into like the patter?
He would just be like on his shoulder. I don't know. I was in like high school when it was on, but he was, Yeah, he was just...
He's like, I don't know if you heard about this, Squawky. You read about this? Like, just bouncing.
It's like very, like, conceptual humor for Tony Danza. It's
yeah,
like,
he's... I mean, you gotta... He hasn't been given enough credit. I, Tony.
He's the... He was Tim and Eric before Tim and Eric.
Right.
Tony Danza.
But it was fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My first job out of college... was actually being a pool boy. But my first good job was working for ABC News, and I ended up writing on this comedy segment on ABC News. It was the worst comedy. It was just a bad idea.
You use the term comedy loosely.
Yes,
as well.
Very, very loosely. It was like they were like, what about this Daily Show thing? What if we had a comedy segment? And we used Tony Danza as one of our punchlines and had him show up. And like
he was there?
He was there.
Was he nice?
He was not thrilled about being the punchline of a joke. And he was like, I don't want to do it this way. What about this way? And we're like, that's not really how jokes work. But he ended up being a good sport. So shouts out Tony Danza, a small man.
You give him a shout out and then you take a shot at the poor man.
No, it's just, I'm always fascinated by that. People who you see in person and... are not.
But small man is aggressive, though.
Okay.
All right, small
man. I use small man as a compliment sometimes.
Yeah.
That guy looks nice. I could give him a piggyback, probably.
it wouldn't strain me
I
too much.
I could probably pick him up. Yeah.
All right. We're trying to take a sample of what the ideas that people are talking and thinking about right now. And we like to open up by asking our guest, what's a myth? What's something that most people believe to be true that you know to be false?
Open our eyes.
Okay. So I also talked about this the last time I was here. I was talking about my pet leeches and how I loved them and it was a great idea. I would like to now debunk that and say that it's actually an awful idea.
What?
I've gone back on my
own. Loved your leeches. You love your leeches.
Are we
saying past tense loved?
I love them, but they're actively ruining my life.
Wow.
So they have started killing each other, which is stressful.
I'm sure.
I woke up to another casualty this morning. It's just like, it's like a Lord of the Flies situation where I thought originally that the fattest leech had exploded.
Right.
But it hadn't. It had been attacked.
And how did you know this? You did an autopsy? One.
I did sort of do a little toothpick poke just to see what had happened, because I woke up and there was like just the whole tank was full of my blood.
I remember seeing that. Yeah, you posted that image.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. And then so I poured them all into a pasta strainer.
Oh my god.
That's how I clean them. Because if I can't touch them or they'll start to drink me.
I'm not here with Leech Protective Services, so I'm not going to judge you.
Poured them into the pasta strainer. Saw that one had had like a kind of puncture wound. It was attacked.
Oh wow.
It was attacked.
And that was the dead one?
That was the dead one.
And it was the fattest one. So that's a lesson for kids out there. Don't be so much better at your thing than everybody else.
The haters
then
will come
all come for
right.
you.
That's
and
right.
just pull you down and probably kill you.
It always
kids
be
aim
your own.
Low. Right. Aim low.
Aim low. Yep. Just try and fit in with the pack.
Exactly.
Don't
blend
stand out.
In.
In the news, Donald Trump, back in June, the New York Times is reporting, tried to fire Mueller. Damn it. How do you say that?
Mueller.
Mueller.
But I like
when
you say
last night, and my wife was like, it's Mueller.
Where is she? What right. what channel is she watching?
We won't even talk about
it. You know, hit her with every news broadcast, unless she's like got real information. I don't know.
No,
I'm
no.
going off of what I hear on TV all the time.
It's always I started with Mueller, but then eventually I heard Mueller.
Mueller. So back in June, Donald Trump tried to fire Robert Mueller, and his legal counsel was basically like, I will resign if you do that because it will be so obvious that you're guilty that we won't be able to. I think he described it as being an existential threat to the presidency. So it turns out Trump is not listening to that Watergate podcast that I was talking about
right.
yesterday.
Oh, I love that podcast.
Yeah, it's
good,
really isn't it?
Good. I had to listen to the new episode.
But yeah, I mean, this is exactly what turned the entire country on Nixon, was him firing the special investigator who'd been hired to look into Watergate.
And, yeah.
Trump was like, nah, none of that.
He's like, you know what won't look sus at all?
Right.
try to get rid of anyone who realizes that I'm a criminal.
I mean, the plot thickens and thickens and thickens and to the point that it will be, I don't even know what to do anymore.
This is literally dumb Watergate. This is like Watergate for idiots.
Yeah. I mean, not that we already didn't have, you know, the idea that clearly something is afoot and clearly there is some shit happening, because all of their behavior points to guilt. You know, why fucking fire him? And then, like, the reasons were really flimsy that he was even trying to rationalize, like, how they could spin the firing, right? It was like, one was what Mueller argued about, like, fees at the golf course.
His idea was that he was going to tell the country that Mueller had a conflict of interest because his law firm had represented Jared, and also because they had had a dispute over fees. Mueller had been a member of Trump's golf course in Virginia and had had to end Mueller's time at the club because of a dispute over fees.
But, not golf drama.
Right.
Yeah. God.
Producer Nick Stump was saying that it's like an episode of Curbed where, like, he's like, guess who's the investigator? The guy who we had to kick out from the golf club.
Damn
it, no! We were wondering, like, was Trump involved in that dispute? And Trump is such a, like, messy little bitch. Like, of course he was involved. Like, I've talked before about this experiment that Spy Magazine did where they, like, sent all the millionaires in New York City checks for, like, $100, then $50, then, like, down to one penny to see who would actually cash them. And Donald Trump was the only millionaire who cashed it down to, like, 1 cent. So he is very detail-oriented when it comes to...
Spy Magazine rules.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is all alleged because the New York Times is reporting this.
They're shitty.
Donald Trump has responded by saying it's fake news. Fake news. That was his quote. And Mueller is apparently aware of this, has been aware that Trump wanted to fire him. So that can't be helping Trump's
It's getting
case
so
that he's
meta,
not obstructionist.
Though. It's like first it was like obstruction about another case, and now Mueller's finding out if there is obstruction against the investigation to find out if there was obstruction in another matter.
Right.
It's just going to keep zooming out. I don't even know what to do. But the great thing was, like, the Fox News machine.
Yes.
They were ready. You know, because, you know, once Trump said fake news, like, when he got to Switzerland, they were like, okay, we know our parts. Let's sing the song.
This is an explicit question I've had, like, while listening to this Watergate podcast that recounts, like, what it was like to have Watergate happening at the time. And, like, you know, people didn't think it was a big deal at first. And then they started to realize it was. And I've been wondering, like, well, but that world is different because there was no Fox News. Like, how would Fox News have reacted to this Republican president, you know, being under fire? And I think we have our answer, because this is the most Watergate-y, like, revelation that I think we've had in the Trump, you know, investigation. And Fox News had this to say.
So speaking of typical New York Times, you look in the first paragraph, all of this reporting based on four people who are told of the matter.
Right.
It also screams of a leak from the special counsel, because we did know a little bit about this. We heard back in June that there were talks of the president wasn't happy with Bob Mueller. What would he do?
Right.
But some new details that may or may not actually be true.
All right. Well, the president says it's fake news. That happened last June. Do you know, it's something we have to tell you about because it is a headline in the New York Times. What do you think about that? Do you even care? Something you probably do care about is immigration.
Oh, wow.
What a pivot.
Good smoke bomb throwdown right there. Yeah. Do you even care? It happened a while ago. Like, you know, he may be just completely throwing the country into chaos. Do you even care anyway? Immigrants.
She may as well have been like, what about the economy?
Right.
What about that?
So then we have Hannity last night talking about this, and it's pretty amazing that he has to sort of do a 180 on air.
So at the beginning of the show, Hannity's just categorically, like, denying everything, saying it's totally uncorroborated, unconfirmed. And then, like, 30 minutes into the show, he has to come back and be like, actually, it's been confirmed. So this is just beautiful.
At this hour, the New York Times is trying to distract you. They have a story that Trump wanted Mueller fired sometime last June. And our sources, and I've checked in with many of them, they're not confirming that tonight.
Oh.
And the president's attorney dismissed the story and says, nope, no comment. We're not going there. And how many times has the New York Times and others gotten it wrong?
Seriously. 40 minutes later.
All right, so we have sources tonight just confirming to Ed Henry that, maybe Donald Trump wanted to fire the special counsel for conflict. Does he not have the right to raise those
questions? Whatever.
you know, we'll deal with this tomorrow night. We have a shocking video of the day to bring you, by the way. This footage comes to us from Arizona, where you see that red SUV, high-speed police chase, ultimately the suspect's...
That's even crazier because he's like, whatever, we'll deal with this later. But what I'll show you, that immediately following
the most
that
violent car crash in America today.
Fucking crazy.
Really?
He throws immediately to a video clip of this fucking SUV flying through. I mean, honestly, it's so bad. Like, I really do hope like this, that wasn't a fatal accident, but it's such a like aggressive distraction to just see, hey, yeah, well, whatever about that. Check out this fucking grotesque car accident.
And, I feel like he orchestrated it. He was just like, emergency, emergency.
Probably there. Between the commercial break, he's like, I can't go out there and be like,
put a crash dummy in a car. We need footage.
Yeah,
yeah, so what? He tried to fire him.
The thing that he was saying a minute ago was like, must be a fake story, because no way this guy would do
this. I mean,
this.
What's the next defense? If now it's just to be casual about this kind of shit.
How many times have the New York Times been wrong about, like, they act like the New York Times is just some, like, gossip blog or something.
Like, it's like the Sun in the UK or something.
Yeah, and... they had to vet this by, like, so many people. They don't just come out and, I don't know. I don't know how many fake news awards they got, but...
CNN had the most, I think. Right. Or they got four of them. But I think either way, trying to act like news from the New York Times is like a subtweet or something, like it's not real journalism, is just absurd.
Right. So I think the answer is Fox News would have reacted to the Saturday Night Massacre and Watergate happening by just... you know, making fun of the Washington Post and talking about how, you know, their journalistic credibility is like shot. And I mean, at the time, at the beginning of Watergate, people did, you know, conservatives did criticize the Washington Post and say that, you know, Woodward and Bernstein were working for McGovern and the Democrats to try to bring down the president. But eventually they had enough of a grasp on reality to be like, oh shit.
Right. This is, yeah, objectively, this is fucked up.
This is how a guilty man behaves.
Right.
By like firing everybody who's trying to find out what happened.
Right, right.
So, anyways.
So probably nothing to see here, guys.
Right. Nothing
to
see
here.
Do
you even care? Yeah, nobody cares. See? Told you.
Exhausting.
Front page of Drudge this morning was just about how America is open for business. Donald does Davos. Stocks up 44%, which the stock market is doing very well since Trump came into office. But yeah, it's all good news, guys.
Yeah, they're not talking about how the fucking crowd was booing his ass at Davos. So
instead, they talked about how he was greeted like a rock star in Davos.
Yeah, they straight up fucking laughed at him.
Yeah, poor guy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we're back. So it's time for some Menghazi.
Menghazi.
Because we have a bunch of updates, just a bunch of awful human beings getting what was coming to them. So Harvey Weinstein's former assistant has come out with sort of a detailed recounting of what sounds like the worst job anyone has ever had.
Yeah.
So his dick didn't work.
No.
So kidding.
Do you believe it that he was overcompensating for something? So his dick didn't work. So she had to carry his dick shots, like ED syringes, around with her. She had to clean up after his frequent sexual encounters. And yeah, just all around. So she's suing the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Sandeepra Hall is like, I think she's 26-year-old assistant and would even like regularly have to work with him while he was naked, like where he would just have to be like dictating emails to her while he was in the nude.
With his broken dick.
With his broken dick.
Just out. Ugh, the only job that's worse than that is the person who has to pull car accident footage for Sean Hannity.
Distraction car accidents.
It also put me on. I didn't realize there was another level for ED medication, like the straight up shot.
The pills don't work, so you have to shoot it directly into your dick.
Like a little dried bone, and then you have to just like shoot into it, and it looks like a human man's. Oh, fucking awful. His star is still out on the Walk of Fame.
Is it really?
Yeah, I walked past it on the way here, and it is shockingly unscathed.
Really?
Yeah, I gotta go back and spit on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Larry Nassar, so we've talked about how, you know, all of these gymnasts got to sort of stand up in court during his sentencing and tell their story. The judge went just ham on him, which was, according to legal people, inappropriate, but according to everyone else,
it was
like
fucking awesome.
I thought I was watching a rap battle.
Yeah.
Where the other dude's getting fucking flamed. I was like, yeah.
And that whole trial, too, after every single account that the judge, I forget what her name was, but she was like she was fucking great.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So, Miles, you had predicted that a bunch of heads were going to roll, and that has started to happen. The president of Michigan State University has resigned, so has the athletic director.
Yeah.
Two of the top board members of USA Gymnastics have resigned. The details of the abuse are horrifying. You know, there had been a story we mentioned before about how, you know, one of the girls had told her parents, and her parents had sided with the doctor because they were just like, oh, he's an adult, he wouldn't lie to us. And then when they realized that she had been telling the truth and he was a sex crim, the dad killed himself. Yeah. So apparently there are a lot of people who have basically that experience, who were told about this guy's behavior and just dismissed the victim.
For 20 years,
yeah,
apparently.
For 20 years.
Right. I feel like the main takeaway for every parent should just be like, if your kid is telling you something like that, what do they have to gain? Like,
right.
There's nothing. It's crazy.
I mean, and I wonder if the parents in a situation were like, oh my God, I don't want to rock the boat
right.
like, with this and trying to like just kind of put it under the rug or whatever. But yeah, like there's no reason for a child to lie. Like,
yeah.
How is a young right. child or young person going to form like a, you know, this cunning plan to take someone down for, you know, any other reason but the fact that their claims about abuse are true?
Right.
Right. I don't know. If like the way that stories like this are being talked about have changed so much so quickly that it's hard for me to like put myself in the head of a parent 20 years ago.
Right.
I was thinking recently, like as recently as like 5 years ago when I was still in college, like there was no talk of what assault was, how to like prevent it, how to do it. So it the conversation is like evolving so quickly, but it's insane to think that that recently it would just be something that's so right. dismissible.
The really fucked up thing that he did was he would do this and claim it was part of the treatment and just be like, right. hey, I'm a doctor. It's doctor stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody would just be like, hey, he's an Olympic doctor. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, also, the apparently now the Olympic committee has given the gymnastics board 6 days to fully just everybody get the
clean,
fuck out.
Clean
yeah.
house.
And also the USOC needs to fucking figure something. They should, we should be talking about them too, because I believe they're like a federally chartered organization.
Right.
So – I mean, yeah, it's just a shame that like this shit went on for so long with little action. But
did you see the letter that he'd like written to the court shortly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's not sorry. There's no doubt that he's not sorry. And the way the story has been covered has been kind of bizarre, too, where like I just looked up Larry Nassar and the most recent story, AOL.com shout out, gymnastics scandal, 8 times Larry Nassar could have been stopped. What a fucking listicle.
Yeah,
like,
right.
it's just, I don't know.
How do we listicle this tragedy?
Yeah. Right. Like, how do we listicle the pain of, like, a bunch of children? It's just, ugh, gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's not getting even more coverage like that. I mean, it is getting coverage, but these young women who are, like, the most famous people in America, like, for 2 weeks at a time, were actively being abused, like, during
right.
the time that they were, you know, winning gold medals for America.
And becoming, and, like, yeah, the darlings of the country.
Right.
Right.
And I don't know. It's a crazy story. So we have to move on just because, unfortunately, there's so many of these Benghazi stories today. Steve Wynn, casino magnate, chair of fundraising for the RNC, is being accused of multiple pretty detailed accounts of sexual assault or sexual abuse or sexual misconduct. There's one case that led to a $7.5 million settlement.
Jesus.
Yeah. So he's denying everything, but I'm
oh,
sure.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
See, I could never afford to stay at a Wynn hotel, and I'm glad I'm still not wealthy
Wynn.
Enough to stay at a Wynn hotel, because
right.
I never will, fam. Also, he looks fucking evil.
He really
he
does.
Looks like when Dorian in The Mask, he puts on the fucking mask.
Right.
Or, I don't know, like a weird tanned version of it.
It's oh, just my God.
There's just something like classically bad guy about him.
He's an on-sale Halloween mask. That's like a fucking – he's a November 3rd ass yeah. Halloween mask.
Fuck that. He's a May 5th.
They're fucking at this point, Benghazi is just deflating. There's just – there's
so much.
So much.
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of creating the sea change.
Right.
Everybody's got to be held accountable. Everybody has to reevaluate themselves.
We have to give every criminal the opportunity to be like, actually, I think it was super chill what I did.
Right.
Yeah.
God.
So he allegedly pressured different women who worked for his casino to perform sexual acts on him. So pretty awful shit. So I wanted to move on to Garrison Keillor, because we had mentioned that he had been fired by Minnesota Public Radio, and his explanation of the event was that like he had never seen an open back shirt before, and his hand had like slipped while patting a woman on the back or something. And lo and behold, that is not the impression that you get once. So Minnesota Public Radio did sort of a detailed report where they went and spoke with a bunch of people who had worked with him and around him, and said that he was just, you know, a pretty brutal person to work for, and that like people who worked with him felt mistreated, sexualized, or belittled. In 2009, he was like romantically involved with somebody who worked for him, and he tried to pay her off with $16,000, which is weirdly exactly a tenth of what the president paid Stormy Daniels, but she didn't cash the check because, you know, Fuck him. There was this one instance in 2012 where there was a young woman who worked at like a bookstore that he was involved with, and he wrote a dirty limerick about her. Jeez. Like,
how appropriately Garrison Keillor.
I know. Yeah. It's just very
He's
Garrison
like, oh, what
Keillor.
A gift I've given.
And there was also a case where he had a writing student. You know, he had used one of her pieces in Prairie Home Companion and paid her, and she was like really excited and felt like this was her writing career about to take off, and had asked for an internship, and he agreed to give her an internship, but said he would have to suppress his intense attraction to her. And, you know, that totally deflated all the attention he had paid to her writing before, and she, you know, felt like shit. So it's overall, he was just kind of a creepy dude who managed to insinuate his sexual urges into different encounters with young women who were not interested in.
And the fucking limerick is that, wild.
The
too.
Limerick, that's disgusting. Right. Leak the limerick.
It's out.
A beauty who goes to
It's
a beauty who goes to McAllister. So it's very clear who he's talking about, because it's a young woman who worked at the store who went to the College of McAllister. Said, a beauty who goes to McAllister, oh, her face, her limbs, her ballast, her tiny blue kilt, and the way she is built could make a petrified phallister.
Oh, so, he's talking about his own...
His own old
ghoulish
weird dick.
Yeah.
His own fossil cock.
Right.
And especially, like, how young the women are. It's so... Like, there was... A friend of mine recently was talking about how it's so easy for women to like get discouraged and have this extreme imposter syndrome around their own abilities because of how guys like this treat them. Because it's like I'm sure that these women were good writers and capable, but it's always with this asterisk of like, yeah, you're a good writer, but also you wouldn't be getting this opportunity if I didn't also think that you were hot
I didn't need my boner injection,
my fucking ghoul dick, to be injected with a Harvey Weinstein like shot. It's really frustrating, especially to hear like women that young are basically being gaslighted out of wanting to do something that they're good at.
Yeah. And having to second guess their own ability.
That follows you through your entire life.
Yeah. And most creative people already have imposter syndrome bad enough.
Yeah. Right. Don't make my imposter syndrome worse.
Right.
I'm a frequent podcast guest for crying.
And then we have David Copperfield, who there is an ex-teen model who is accusing him of drugging her and sexually assaulting her, and then the next morning being like, nothing happened. I don't know. He's claiming it's a false accusation. There was allegedly an accusation against him that the FBI investigated and chose not to press charges on earlier in his career. And so in his statement, he just like talked about that the whole time. So I don't know. It's
interesting distraction.
Right.
Let me talk about another time I've been accused of sexual assault.
But the FBI cleared me.
Right.
And don't connect the dots, because, you know, maybe they were all in the front row of one of my shows.
Right.
But anyway.
One of the worst types of people in the entire world is a magician, particularly a male magician. I'm well acquainted with the magicians. I've got a long romantic history with magicians, and they've got a male magician should be abolished. They should be about female magicians can stay.
Right.
There's only a couple of them. Let them take over the magic castle. We're throwing all the male magicians out the window of the magic castle. They got to go.
What's the personality type of a male magician? Like, what's their deal?
Well, just the sheer, like, the male magician's thing is he thinks he transcends Earth. Like, he's like, I got to prove I'm so fucking cool.
I can defy God.
Right. Like, it's very much like a playing God thing. And also, it's just like the aesthetic of it is dumb. They look like shit.
Coming for these
the aesthetic is super
okay
whack.
But how about this, like, how do you feel about illusionists?
Some mind freak shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even at this point in Benghazi, I don't know if Chris Angel has been implicated in anything,
probably,
but
wasn't he like horribly fucked up to Holly Madison? Wasn't he dating that playmate?
He was fucked up to
remember
Holly Madison.
And she was like, nah, this dude is a fucking
Holly Madison
freak, mind fuck this
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, they're all mind freaks, but in a bad way.
Well, other question is, when this investigation happened with David Copperfield, was George Herbert Walker Bush president? Because as we all know, that is his favorite magician.
Oh,
really?
That's true.
That's the joke that old George Bush would tell when he squeezed women's butts, when he'd be like, you know who my favorite magician is?
He would talk about magicians
David
while squeezing butts?
David Copperfield.
Oh.
Hi, did you just check into the show? Yeah, we've been talking about this for a minute. Yeah.
Oh my.
That was so, how he
shit is wild.
I have to walk into traffic.
Folded
that's
his
the worst
sexual assault.
Please don't do it on this street.
Fun little bad jokes.
God.
All right.
That's worse than a Keeler limerick.
That is the exhausting Benghazi report. We have some more fun news to talk about in our next section, Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
Kind of overall sampling of the stories people are talking about. Ben Affleck not looking great. He might want to check out a meeting or two.
Is he sober January?
Yeah, he doesn't look like it. I think he fell off a motorcycle
or something.
Does he look really bad?
Yeah, he's kind of puffy. Megyn Kelly versus Hoda. They are not getting along after at first getting along. Brad and Jen. Will they? Won't they? Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
At least now they're physically in the same room. Because before it was like they were both in this city at the same time.
Yeah, so everything we've seen up to this point is like talking about how they went on trips like when they were together, but they make it seem like it's happening now because they know it'll get people to buy magazines.
Buy
but
the Bloids.
This time she dropped off a book at his house.
And
so,
the children were there.
She wouldn't do that
for
just any reason. I mean,
and in the writing, they're like, she kept looking at one of his biological sons and was like, oh my God, Brad, he looks just like you. He looks just like
nice.
You. According to whoever the fuck was in there and told them the tabloids, but you know.
Also, this could be totally made up because they will just say,
because naturally it's the bare bones is she came to drop a book off. The kids were there. The kids told Angelina that they met the Jennifer lady and Angelina was pissed.
I feel like we're all so desperate for good news. I hope it's true.
Has America ever been this desperate for two people to like start having sex with one another?
I'm sure
there is if we think about it.
For like 10 straight years, there'd be like one Bloid every week where the cover story would be like, is Jennifer Aniston happy? Like they just like never has a woman's
body language
been like speculated so intensely.
Or it's like ones where her publicist probably didn't tell her, but like, can you write something about how she's thriving right now? Because then it's Jennifer, babyless, manless, and thriving
kind of
shit.
Yeah,
like she doesn't need anyone while she eats a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts.
So many backhanded compliments. Like, probably too old to conceive, but totally chill. Yeah. Like, leave her alone.
Too old to conceive, but young enough to achieve those abs.
Right. By the way, we talk about tabloids because the idea being that
we're obsessed with
millions and millions of people walk by them every day because they're still there when you're buying stuff at the grocery store. And all that stuff, all the things on the cover are being dumped into people's heads, whether they like it or not. But I wanted to talk about my favorite story this week from Star Magazine. Star, you get the star this week. The Royal Boot Camp for Meghan. So apparently the royals
don't be black
are sharing some advice with her on like how to behave royally, and the advice is amazing.
So these are the 10 Windsor Commandments. Yeah, what
exactly?
Boop, boop, boop,
so boop. Here are some don'ts they gave her. Don't use a phone or other electronic device in public, not just for security reasons, but because it's vulgar.
Oh, please do not flex on the gram.
Do not talk to a fan, what they call well-wisher, for more than 2 minutes in public. Do not speak unless spoken to, always let Harry answer first.
Oof.
Don't
That's
wear.
Not on the list.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not wear above the knee skirts. Which okay, that's somewhat to be expected.
Okay.
Nail polish. Or perfume.
Get
like
the fuck
nail
out of here.
No perfume.
Right.
They're like, she's like, just let your BO rip, girl. Like, don't.
Right.
Vulgar. To
and also,
not
nail polish?
Like garbage.
Is that like a.
Can't you get any kind of manicure? It's like, it has
no,
to. No.
It just has to be raw.
Not even a clear coat.
Right.
Yeah, no, just raw nails.
Right.
Yeah. What
dirt
if she has like
fingers?
A calcium, you know, problem and her nail beds be looking fucked up?
Yeah. And then this is my favorite. Don't ever cough in public or complain about having a cold. Your subjects should never see you down.
First of all, stop with this subject shit. Are people really like that's such a weird like sort of worldview that the royals have if this is true, right?
Right.
Of how they still think the general public views them.
Right.
Because we're out here being like, yeah, Megan, go do your thing, girl. Just fucking post all kinds of fucking pictures from Windsor Castle or wherever the fuck you are.
Right.
But now it's like, don't ever cough. Don't act like a human. Don't dress nice.
Do.
Okay, what are the do's?
List of do's. Okay. Always look happy, obviously.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that's just good advice. Do, embrace commoners, but never more than one per engagement.
You'll get dirty.
Yeah. They have
typhoid.
Scabies. Yeah, exactly.
it'll like lessen the value of your clothes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do, show sympathy for those affected by tragedy. Wow, good advice. Okay. But without offering help, so you're not asked to provide personal financial aid.
Right, because she doesn't have enough money.
Right. Do have an aide check you for impurities, sweating, smudged makeup, acne, underarm stains, runs in the stockings every 20 minutes.
God.
That is...
God damn.
That's actually kind of a dope, like, privilege of being a royal, yeah. Is, like, just having somebody watching
hey,
you
being good?
Like, yo, your hair looks weird.
Your hair's fucked up, yeah. B.
Excuse me, intern? Pit check.
And then finally, do gaze at Harry. Your job is to make him
oh
look good.
My God.
Ah!
Gaze.
Hi. What year are we in?
I've never gazed at anyone in my entire life.
Yeah.
God.
Do not speak unless spoken to. Always look at your man so they don't think anything is wrong. Don't be touching the pores.
Exactly.
Don't offer people help because you know how it goes. You'd be like, oh, I feel bad. And next thing you know, you're cutting checks for everybody.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and we want to just do a couple of like sort of a pop culture scattershot of
I like that.
Things that are happening this weekend. We got the Grammys, which is, you know, a pretty diverse list of nominees. There's actually an interesting podcast called Still Processing. And Wesley Morris was talking on it about how he thinks that they specifically deleted Ed Sheeran from the categories of like best song and album of the year. So the Grammys apparently, and I didn't realize this, has a steering committee that can review the nominees before they go out and like delete and switch in people. And so he is thinking that because last year Adele won and like apologized and was like, no, Beyonce, you deserve to win. Mm-hmm. This is like sort of how they're superficially addressing it by just like not putting Ed Sheeran in Song of the Year. Okay. So basically like putting a Band-Aid over the problem of, you know, their lack of diversity in the recording.
Right, so let's rig it.
Right.
To look,
so they get good optics.
Right. Although I'm always down to see Ed Sheeran get stiffed a little bit.
Right. Like, why don't you just do it and just suppress the vote? Be like, yeah, right. We can have him nominated. If you're going to go that far, just be like, well, look, if Ed Sheeran wins, we're going to take the number two vote.
I also think Wesley Morris just really likes Shape of You. And Wesley Morris is a New York Times film critic. He's great. But another report that's coming out about the Grammys, a USC study has found that more than 90% of recent Grammy nominees are men, which I guess it's not that shocking, but it did make me wonder, why are the Oscars like split up between men and women?
Oh, I'd never thought about that before. There's no gender split in the Grammys, is
right?
There?
It's not like best like woman,
which
artist.
Which
like
creates artists. This situation, right? Where,
That is interesting, but the Oscars have always been like that.
Right. Yeah, from the start.
And it's weird because I know there was like pushback sometimes, like, why are we still gendering the Oscars or whatever?
Right.
But when you look at the other side of the coin in a situation like this, there's clearly a problem when...
Yeah, I mean, when you ask the every voter, who do you consider an artist?
Right.
Usually you get a list of way more men.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I hope like in the future that... You know, the award categories don't have to be gendered, but if for like the Oscars and the Golden Globes, et cetera, right now, if it forces people to have to view all artists for consideration, then yeah, that's I'm actually a little bit surprised that it's that high, 90%. That's insane, especially when you think about like when I think about people who sweep the Grammys, I think like Adele
and Beyonce and Madonna, and
because this is entering our era of like being aware of the Grammys. Like I'm sure in previous years, like in the 70s and earlier, it skewed very male then. Sure. I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, maybe our memory is only thinking from like the 90s on.
Well, but like think of the 60s or, I'm just thinking of like the Supremes and, you know, I don't know. It seems like a fair balance of like men and women artists when you think back. But of course, Grammys do not always nominate or give victories to the people who you actually remember.
I mean, but even if you think about it, like, oh, I guess there was a best female country vocal, but I guess best R&B performance in 1965 was James Brown. Best instrumental performance was Herb Alpert. Like for classical, it was like a male conductor. So I don't know. The man with the golden voice, Nick Stumpf, that our producer just told me in my ear, that probably has to do with, because there are a lot of technical awards being given out in the Grammys. So that is definitely a huge boys club. Because I was also reading an article about like there isn't really much exposure for female producers either, because that has been a very male-dominated part of music as well.
Yeah, there's one of my favorite, and I love Bjork, but one of my favorite pieces on Bjork is she's like spoken extensively about women who produce their own music and how, you know, hard it is to break through that barrier and
Yeah, probably without having a label being like, hey, you should work with this, these producers.
Exactly.
Where they're like, no, I'm St. Vincent and I can make my own shit.
Exactly. Right.
We wanted to give a quick review. We watched together in the office the NBA's revealing of who was drafted to which All-Star team. So for people not familiar, the NBA this year for the All-Star teams, rather than just doing Eastern Conference versus Western Conference, created a system where the top vote getter in the East and the top vote getter in the West are the two captains, and they, you know, pick their teams like it's
playground style.
Yeah, which is a really cool idea. So I was excited to see how they were going to reveal this, and, you know, then presumably there would be an interview or, you know, something where they went through the decision making process. So it was on TNT yesterday, and it was a fucking disaster.
Really?
It was one of the worst
things
I'd ever seen.
It starts off so awkwardly, and Goosebumps by Travis Scott is blasting.
Right.
And, like, Ernie and all the guys, they start talking. You can barely hear them because the mix is just all favoring the music somehow.
Yeah, it's all like, Travis Scott.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, is it starting? Like,
right.
Do they errantly go live? Then it's like so heavy handed with the Nike branding, like the Jordan shit that they're like, all right, before let's bow to our corporate apparel overlords, Nike, and show the new Jordan jerseys. Okay.
Now talk about how cool the jerseys are.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of old dudes who are like, yeah, man, that's like Charles Barkley looked confused too.
Out of sorts.
Yeah.
I'm just loving, my visual of you guys watching it. Did you guys make popcorn?
It happened at 4, so we were like working on today's show, and then we were like, oh, the All-Star announcement is going on, so we just hopped on the couch, and we were just like, dude, what the fuck is going on with this whole thing?
So strange.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was just like poor execution on technical stuff.
Yeah, shame on you, TNT.
But then reveal the teams, they just like put up a screen that was like, okay, LeBron's team is these guys, and just like showed the people he had drafted. And then they were like, and Steph's team is these guys, and showed the people he had drafted. And then they were like, all right, now we're going to interview them. And they wouldn't answer questions about who they picked first.
Yeah, they were really coy.
Yeah, they were being really coy.
Then why even do it?
Right,
it's
exactly.
Weird.
That's so weird.
I mean, it's funny because Steph Curry and LeBron were like, we should have televised it. It was really entertaining to watch us both go through our like calculus of how what would happen if this person picks a player I want. But it was just one of those things, too, when you hear, like, oh, they're going to pick it playground style, you kind of want the drama of knowing, like, oh, now how does this person pick? And there was just zero drama, or, like, it could have been more sensational for unveiling the teams. Like, you could have done it player by player and just let that populate without tipping your hat to who was picked in what order.
Right. Like, maybe they should air, like, the top three picks of the starters, and then you don't see who are, like, picked in what order. So you don't see who got picked last out of the starters.
Oh,
and then you do the same thing and do, like, the first half of the reserves, just so you get, like, some flavor of, like, the decision-making process and see who goes first without, like, seeing who's the last person on the bench.
Yeah.
Because you don't want making the All-Star team to be, like, an embarrassing experience.
But, you know that could probably have a good effect, like, depending on your psychology. Like, that could also fire up that person to just somehow be, like, All-Star game MVP.
Syndrome.
But it's like, oh, I'm picked last? Watch me go harder than I even do in the regular season games.
That's actually a huge factor in the NBA. Like, when you have people who get picked, like Jordan was picked third, and obviously that fueled his whole career. But apparently that's true about Kevin Durant, too. He was picked second and was just like that has pissed him off his whole career, essentially.
So he's been carrying that with him.
Yeah.
His whole time. Okay.
Yeah.
I love when like famous athletes and just like anyone is still being petty about something from like 15 years ago. Just like, God.
Well, and also, too, because Greg Oden was picked over Kevin Durant.
Right.
So, and where's Greg at now?
I mean, poor guy was just like fell apart.
Yeah.
His body parts were not built for this world.
It's a shame for, was Olu Candy picked first too?
He was.
Yeah. See, some of those guys you do feel bad for.
I already feel bad for this year's first round pick. I'm a 76ers fan. Obviously, I can't really talk too much about it, but, I do think that the pressure of being picked first sometimes gets to these guys mentally.
Yeah.
This year's first round pick has forgot how to shoot.
Well, hey, let's pray for them.
Basketball and sports.
Right.
Your favorite.
My favorite sporty basketball.
All right, now for some hockey talk.
Now for some
with Jamie.
Zamboni talk.
And finally, hey, this is up your alley. Frozen. Disney. I mean, right? Hockey, yeah. Ice.
Oh, there we go. Oh, Zamboni. Where's the Zamboni in right. Frozen?
Exactly. Yeah,
thank you.
Wow. Needs finally, to be there someone in the said sequel. It. Someone said it.
Are you being paid by Big Zamboni?
I am fully funded by Big Zamboni.
So, our writer, JF Sargent, brought to our attention this conspiracy theory.
Ooh.
Fuck. Our writer, JM McNabb, brought to our attention this conspiracy theory from the internet that we kind of like, where the reason that they titled the movie Frozen was because they were tired of the search Disney Frozen coming up with reports of Walt Disney being frozen and like put under the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Because
that was like a thing I remember as a kid, you would always hear is like, you know, Walt Disney froze his head or he froze his body
right.
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, him and Babe Ruth. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I guess the idea that Disney's like, we got to end this. Because apparently, what was it supposed to be called originally? It wasn't called Frozen. The title was
the
changed.
Snow Princess or something?
It was called...
The Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen.
Right.
Which would have been a very lame title even for a Disney movie. So
super lame.
Maybe that was a working title. But yeah, a simple change completely changed the dynamics of a Google search. Because now exactly. Disney Frozen.
That's so funny. It's like, what? How would you do that to cover up like the munchkin that they always say hanged himself in right. The Wizard of Oz. What movie is that? Be like, we got a great new movie come from MGM called Hanged Munchkin.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big hit.
Wizard of Oz, yeah. Wizard of Oz Suicide. What? What the fuck is this about? It's a buddy movie. Yeah.
It's a kid's movie. It's two Zambonis fall in love.
two Zambonis fall in love. They witness a murder and then they're on the run.
All right, Jamie, it's been wonderful having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at Hamburger Phone on Twitter. You can listen to my podcast, The Bechdel Cast, new episode every Thursday. Your episode came out last week.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It is a great show, one of my favorites, and it was a real thrill to be on it. We talked about Snow White and Disney. We did not talk about his head being frozen.
We didn't, which is all
missed
because Frozen came out and we all forgot.
Right.
Exactly.
our mental algorithms. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me catching up to the latest episode of Culture Kings because episode 3 is out.
Yes.
Guys, please check out Culture Kings. That's our first of our new series here on How Stuff
First
Works.
First sister podcast.
Yep, on the How Stuff Works comedy team. The crew is alive. So please check out Culture Kings. Also, if you want to hear us, Jack, myself, and super producer Anna Hosene, we're on the Dana Gould Hour podcast with Dana Gould. I'm pretty sure you've heard of him. That was a fun time. That podcast just dropped today, so please check us out over there. And if you're looking for me on social media, you already know what it is. It's at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, Daily Zeitgeist. We have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our episodes and footnotes, where we link off to the articles and other things we used as sources for each episode.
Yippee-yoo.
The Daily Zeitgeist is super produced by Anna Hosnier and Nick Stumpf. It's written by our guests, like Jamie, J.M. McNabb, Sam Roudman, Miles, and me. And our theme song, which people ask about sometimes, is by Trey Finley and Dream Panther. You can find Dream Panther on SoundCloud.
But if you're trying to find that theme song, it's an exclusive cut. Actually, you might be able to find it somewhere. And if you really want the link, just tweet at me.
I want to make it my ringtone.
Ooh.
I'm bringing ringtones back.
And that's going to do it for today. Miles, is there a song you want to play?
Yeah, you know, it's Friday. I want to get everybody in like a good mood. So today I want to put people on to the band Hiatus Coyote from Australia because they are fucking lit. These guys are wonderful musicians. Like, typically I like, you know, music because it's really good. And also sometimes you're so impressed by people's ability as musicians that it just really enhances the music. Hiatus Coyote is a dope band, one of my favorites, and this song is called Molasses. It's got a nice laid back vibe. Check out their stuff. They are dope.
And that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back Monday. Have a good weekend, guys. Bye.
Bye. Later.
Might not get it. will be your compass, grass, so bountiful. It could be the opposing opinion. It could be the point of traction, bound to all. It could be the point of letting go. It could be your compass. Blinding the lungs with the focus, running with my eyes closed, finding all men's in the woodwork, icy cold, cold braille, mechanical and frail. How do I tessellate to filter the rage? Are you the born hunter, relic with an arm and heart, color of soul far banished to a single arc, porcelain smolder, and don't forget your state of the art, buried deep in the soil, selfless or
something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.